Hello and welcome to this April 2015 edition of Cape Light Compact's Focus on Energy. We're coming to you on the airwaves at 92.1 WOMR-FM Provincetown, 91.3 WFMR-FM Orleans, and live online at WOMR.org. This month on Focus on Energy, we'll be sitting down with Steve Hines, the Director of Building Performance at Rise Engineering, to talk about ice dams and how they are directly related to the thermal efficiency of your homes. Now, we may be a little late in this since spring is on the way, but Cape Light Compact needed to hop on the bandwagon and let you know that there is a way to deal with the underlying issue of ice dams for next winter. First, though, we'll be joined by Liz Argo, Special Projects Coordinator of the Cape and Vineyard Electric Cooperative, to talk about a recent completion of a significant Cape-wide renewable energy project. And then we'll also be joined by Lindsay Henderson of the Cape Light Compact to tell us about some of the limited-time rebate offers and upcoming events that CLC is involved in. Well, Liz, welcome back to Focus on Energy.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
So for new listeners to Focus on Energy or those who are not familiar with CVEC or the Cape and Vineyard Electric Cooperative, what do you guys do? And what do you do specifically as the Special Projects Coordinator, and what have you guys been up to?
CVEC was created. It's a sister organization to the Cape Light Compact, and we are specifically going forward with as much renewable energy as we can bring forward for the Cape and Martha's Vineyard. I myself, as the Special Projects Coordinator, am busily handling the completion of our 25 projects, some of which have net metering credits flowing, so there's a lot of financial transactions I take care of. And I'm also, for instance, bringing forward a ribbon cutting ceremony, which is one reason we're here today.
Oh, great. So 25 projects, and they all happened simultaneously, correct?
It's not like they did, which was not expected. We started round one, initiative round one, back in 2010, and round two in 2011. But lo and behold, here they come across the finish line almost together. So there were a lot of challenges with state incentives, financing, and so on. So those are the reasons they came in at the same time.
And just to back up a little bit, for the folks who are unfamiliar with what CVEC has been working on through phase one, round one and round two, what is being installed on the grounds of municipalities here on Cape Cod?
We put out requests for proposals, and we got responses from many vendors willing to put in photovoltaic installations on, for instance, capped landfills. They've popped up all across the Cape and Martha's Vineyard, as well as some rooftops and some other municipal lands. The vendors, through the beauty of the state incentives, have installed almost 28 megawatts of solar power through the Cape and Vineyard Electric Cooperative, and it is directly benefiting the municipalities that are involved, as well as a few school districts. And a fire district. So we've been very successful, and that's a lot of power. That's about enough power for 3,170 homes. However, the power will be going to benefit the municipalities that are involved, the governments, not to local residents.
Right. So it's you'll see the benefit, hopefully, in increased services or reduced costs in your town's operating
budget.
That's
right. Hopefully we can keep a few teachers on in some of the school districts.
And so one of the beauties of this project with respect to CVEC and the member towns of these projects is that the towns weren't out a lot of capital for the initial building of the projects, right?
Right.
You know, say that there's a project on a capped landfill that I can only imagine cost multiple millions of dollars.
Yeah.
It would be pretty hard, I think, for a town to put that warrant on that article on a town meeting and, you know, and ask for the taxpayers to pony up those upfront costs. So I think that's where the beautiful part of CVEC comes in, is that through that RFP and through some of the relationships with these vendors, is these projects were installed kind of no money out of pocket to the towns, right?
Absolutely no money out of pocket. The membership fee for CVEC is $25 when you join up, and beyond that, it has cost these towns nothing. While the vendors are really putting up the capital, so CVEC is not putting up capital in that end, what has been very effective is being able to bring the projects forward in a cooperative fashion means that we have one RFP and one legal review. The negotiations are handled for all of the parties at one time. So each town is not having to handle the dollars that are involved with those kinds of activities independently. It's done one time cooperatively under CVEC by a very, very efficient, effective negotiating firm, I might add.
I can understand how that may result in some savings by the vendor as well. So they don't need to negotiate 25 contracts. They can just do it all in one shot, right?
Right. And that's why they give us a good rate. They're delighted to have a one-shot deal. This bundling is a very attractive opportunity for them. So, for instance, we have what are called fixed rates for the cost that we are paying to the vendors. That's pretty much unheard of, to have a fixed rate PPA, power purchase agreement. And that's one of the features of our negotiations.
Great. So in these projects, no money out of pocket to the towns to build. What can, I guess, the project cumulatively expect to save on those towns' electric bills in the first year?
In the first year, with the 25 projects, we're looking at financial benefits at just under $2.3 million.
Wow.
Yeah. By the end of year one. And by the end of year 20, cumulatively, we're looking at savings at over $65 million. And that'll be dispersed among the many participants. We have 20 participants between the hosts who have these projects on their land, their cap landfill, or their roof, or whatever. And then we have off-takers as well, entities that didn't build their own, but they're able to benefit as well. And I think that's one of the real beauties of the cooperative. We are working cooperatively.
Great. So there is a ribbon cutting, a ceremony coming up on Earth Day this year, right?
Yes.
April 22nd?
April 22nd.
Where's that going to be? What are you guys going to do? And what can we expect from that adventure?
Well, we're going to meet at the Barnstable Airport.
Okay.
The Barnstable Airport has a project which also involves the fire district, which is the properties are contiguous. You can't see where one solar project begins and one the other ends. And that one is the biggest of all of the CVEC projects at 6.7 megawatts. So we're going to celebrate at the airport. It's quite fitting that we be where our biggest project is on Earth Day. We're going to be inviting the luminaries to speak. We will be doing tours of the solar installation, and there will be light refreshments. It's rain or shine on Earth Day. We don't have a time yet, but we'll have it in the newspapers, of course, and our website is always going to have the information. And our website is www.cvecinc.org, cvecinc.org.
Great. Well, Liz, thank you for joining us on Focus on Energy, and we'll look forward to seeing you on Earth Day at the ribbon cutting.
Wonderful.
Well, Lindsay, welcome back to Focus on Energy.
Thank you.
So we have some new and, well, I guess not new, but recurring, new this year and exciting things going on in the world of energy efficiency. Why don't you give us a little update on what's to come?
Yeah, so starting April 1st, we have our early boiler and furnace replacement rebate available. So for folks, if they have a boiler, an oil or propane boiler that is more than 30 years old, or an oil or propane furnace that is more than 12 years old, we have rebates available up to $3,500 for boilers and up to $1,000 for furnaces.
Wow.
Yeah.
So I guess
it's a really great incentive.
In context, there are standard incentives, right, for boilers and furnaces.
Yes.
That are not of age, we'll call it. And what are those? Do we have an idea what those incentives are? Are they significantly less than these early boiler and furnace incentives? Or
yes, I believe the rebates currently are maybe up to like $400 or something along those lines. Unfortunately,
okay.
I don't have that in front of
sorry to put you on the spot on that. But yeah,
is a substantial increase to retire those systems early.
Yep. So they're on their last legs, but those old ones, their efficiencies are probably pretty low. What are the steps to receiving these rebates of up to $3,500 for the boiler and $1,000 for the furnace? What do you need to do?
So you need to give us a call to have a home energy assessment. So our phone number is 1-800-797-6699. And give us a call to sign up for the assessment between April 1st and August 31st.
Okay.
And then if your existing system, which has to be in working order, If it does qualify for the rebate, then you would need to have it installed by October 31st of this year.
So the goal is to get it done in the off season, so yes. We don't have people coming in with no heat situations saying, hey, I'd like an increased incentive.
Exactly.
Okay. So through the home energy assessment, obviously there is a lot of other benefits in addition to just finding out if your boiler or furnace qualifies. Rebates and incentives on insulation, lighting. What else can people expect from that assessment?
Yep. So any insulation that's recommended, we cover 75% of the cost up to $4,000. We'll meter your refrigerator to see if it's eligible for a rebate for $150 towards a new one.
Okay.
And recently, over the last several months, we've been starting to give out more LEDs for free as part of the assessment. So that's really exciting.
Okay, LEDs are a new and innovative light bulb for the residential consumer. Prices are coming down, and we're kind of phasing out some of those compact fluorescents, the little curly Q guys that people have been installing for the last 25 or so years. So folks, again, can call the Cape Light Compact to sign up for that energy assessment. Make sure that you have your and Star Electric bill, if you have that, so we can get that.
That would be ideal. Or it's Eversource now.
I'm sorry. So you have that bill with you, just because it's a lot easier for us to enter to get you started. If we have that account number, it makes it a little bit faster for everyone. General information, and don't forget to mention that you are interested in that early boiler replacement. Lindsay, for folks where, you know, say they don't qualify for that early boiler incentive, or even if they do, but I imagine a boiler probably costs a lot more than $3,500 still. Are there financing options that people should be aware of through the Cape Light Compact, or, you know, that the Cape Light Compact works with, that may be available to them?
There is. So through the energy assessment, there's what's called the heat loan, which is a 0% interest loan. The Cape Light Compact buys down the interest rate for you. And you can use that to help finance any of the insulation recommended, finance new heating systems, air conditioning systems. So it's really a great way to, you know, make the energy efficient improvements affordable.
And the terms on some of those loans can go pretty long, I understand.
Up to 7 years and up to $25,000.
Okay, so it's the same as cash price, essentially, for 7 years or so. Well, thank you, Lindsay. Again, folks can give us a call. That number is 1-800-797-6699. What else is coming down the pike for the Cape Light Compact this spring? Any events that we're planning to attend, et cetera?
Yeah, so on Saturday, April 11th, we are going to be at the Lower Cape Home and Garden Expo, which is at the Cape Cod Tech in Harwich, right off of Exit 10.
Okay.
And we'll be there from 10 to 4, and that's always an exciting event, and a lot of folks always attend. It's a great, great fun time.
Good. So come on down. We'll have a table staffed by Cape Light Compact staff, our small staff of about 14 or 15. I think a few of us will be there. Grab a giveaway. What are we giving away this year?
We're going to have some LED night lights.
Okay. Any raffles or anything like that that people can look forward to?
I don't think we're doing raffles this time, but we've got a lot of great information on our programs, rebates available. I know power supply and the competitive power supply marketers is a hot topic, so we'll have some information on that as well.
Great. Swing by and ask us some questions, and hopefully we don't get too stumped, and we can put you on the road to saving energy.
Yes.
Lindsay, for folks that don't come out, or maybe they've had an energy assessment, any little tips or tricks to help save energy in the spring?
Yeah, so believe it or not, spring is here, although it doesn't necessarily feel like it. But just a couple of spring tips. Cooking outdoors, using your grill, or you can use your microwave. That'll help reduce the amount of heat in your house. Turn off any incandescent light bulbs and start using either the compact fluorescents or the LEDs, which use less heat. And also, when using a dehumidifier or purchasing a new one, make sure that it's sized properly for your home so that you're not buying one that's either too big or too small.
Right, and we are getting into that season where folks around the Cape are starting to kick on those dehumidifiers to keep their basement dry.
Yes.
So that's an important one. With dehumidifiers, Lindsay, are there any incentives, rebates?
There is. Right, we have a $30 rebate available for some eligible models. And if you go to capelightcompact.org/res rebates, R-E-S rebates, we have some information in the list of eligible models.
Great. So if you have an old clunker of a dehumidifier, chances are that thing uses up a lot of energy. So yes. Now would be a good time to get your hands on a new Energy Star qualified model. Well, Lindsay, thank you for joining us, and I'm sure we'll be talking with you soon.
All right. Thank you, Matt.
If you're just joining us, this is Matt Dudley, and you're listening to Cape Light Compact's Focus on Energy. Now we're moving on to the feature of our show, where I sit down with Steve Hines of Rise Engineering to discuss ice dams. All right, Steve Hines, thank you for joining us.
Glad to be here.
So, Steve, tell me a little bit about yourself and your experience, and a little bit about Rise Engineering as well.
Sure. I'm the Director of Building Performance Services for Rise Engineering. I was an energy auditor for Rise for many years. I've been with Rise for 30 years. And Rise Engineering is a company that performs energy analyses of buildings. So we look at residential homes, multifamily buildings, commercial industrial facilities, government buildings, for ways to save energy. And one of our customers that we work with closely is the Cape Light Compact out here on Cape Cod.
Right, yeah. You guys have been a good industry partner with the Cape Light Compact, I think, since our inception with,
yes,
with
right.
energy efficiency programs.
That's
and,
right.
We really appreciate all that you do. For anyone listening out there who has had an energy audit through the Cape Light Compact's programs, chances are you have either heard about or spoke to someone from Rise Engineering, just because you're our boots on the ground for a lot of these programs. So, Steve, I wanted to bring you in today as the Director of Building Performance Services to talk to us about something that has been in the news over the last few weeks to a month or so, which hopefully isn't going to be as relevant from now. The show's going to air in April from now on through the rest of the year, but ice dams.
Mm-hmm.
Been in the newspapers, you see it on the news, you hear it on the radio. That's, the radio shows that are on every day, not the ones that are once a month. But the Cape Light Compact felt that we should hop on the bandwagon and get a building scientist in here to figure out what's really going on behind the scenes of these things. So there's no joke about this winter. There's no lying that this one had a lot of snow.
Yeah, a lot of the listeners, I'm sure, have had experience with ice dams
right.
as well.
Yes, probably, especially here on the Cape and Martha's Vineyard.
Right.
I guess the last month or two that is we've just been dumped on in snow, and we see in the news that Boston's reached record levels.
Right.
It's just been wild. Two storms. Yeah, I think it was
an amazing amount of snow for our area.
Yeah, Juno and Marcus were two storms from that were about 10 days apart that brought about 40 inches of snow for folks.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope everyone that's listening has finally dug out and that things are starting to thaw out for you. Hope fingers crossed that is the case and things don't freeze again.
Today's the first day of spring.
Yes, yeah, we are recording this on the first day of spring, even though it is a little chilly outside, hoping for a little bit warmer weather. But so, Steve, we're here to talk about ice dams. What are ice dams?
Well, ice dams are where your roof has heated snow so that water, snow is melted into water and water is run downhill on the roof, but come to a point on the roof which is cold enough to refreeze that water into ice. And the ice builds up to a point where it forms a bit of a trough, sort of a false gutter on top of the roof that can catch water that's coming down from above. And as that water puddles up, it can rise up enough to rise underneath the roof shingles and enter the home.
And it just tries to work its way into the...
And it will. Water follows gravity, and it's going to follow that path of least resistance, and if that means backwards up under the shingles, it will.
It will do it.
Yeah.
So what are some of the dangers of ice dams?
Well, ice dams can cause significant damage in homes. Water penetrating a home that's built of wood, for example, water and wood don't mix well. You can rot that wood. Mold can form. Plaster can fail. You can have mildew forming on paint surfaces. You can have paint peeling and wallpaper peeling. And damage can be unseen as well. It can be back inside the wall where it soaks into insulation, for example, and sits for quite a while and can lead to major damage in a building.
Well, you might not know about the damage until it's really substantial.
That's right. If you had water dripping into your house, visible water dripping into your house, chances are there's a lot more water that you don't see going somewhere else down the wall or into a joist system somewhere.
So hopefully folks haven't gotten to the point where they're seeing that water drip. But if you have, hopefully you've contacted a home repair company to try to remediate that. But in ice dams in general, I guess for those lucky folks who haven't seen the damage yet, or someone who's just cautiously optimistic about perhaps if their house could have ice dams, What is it that's forming these ice dams? What is it that's melting that water and creating the trough or the gutter, the fault gutter of
ice? Dams generally are formed when, first of all, we have snowfall on our roofs, right? But our roofs are heated somewhat by our houses. Houses lose heat in all directions constantly. That's why we keep putting fuel back into our furnaces, right? We're always losing heat. So one of those directions is through the roof. And as snow falls on the roof, a small bit of snow might melt right off right away and the water runs down to the gutter, no problem. But as snowfall builds up deeply on a roof, the snow is a blanket, actually. It actually insulates the roof from the outdoor air. The roof can stay warmer longer. In fact, the roof can get warm enough that its temperature is higher than the freezing temperature, and it will melt the bottom layer of that snow. So underneath that big blanket of snow on your roof, water forms and rolls down the shingles or the roof surface. But the problem is that most of our roofs, before they reach gutter level, become colder because they're no longer directly overheated rooms. They're out at the eaves.
Right, those overhangs that are on the side of the house.
And so the water refreezes.
At that point. So I think a good illustration of this might be when you get a light dusting of snow, and if you're on your way to work or school and you take a look at your neighbor's houses, you can see quite a bit of detail about the structure of their house because of the snow melt.
That's right, yeah. You can see where the walls attach to the ceiling below the roof because that's a point where heat loss would be occurring. And why it occurs there generally is because of something called air leakage pathways. We have wires in our homes and plumbing in our homes, and elements of those systems rise through the walls into the roof system. And every hole that a wire passes through is generally a little bit bigger than the wire, and warm air inside the walls of the home can rise up to the roof, heat the roof, and melt that dusting of snow off.
So it's not necessarily directly related to the amount of insulation that you have in your attic, but it's that leaking air that gets up there?
Ice dams are going to form when a roof gets warm enough to melt the snow. Mm-hmm. And a roof gets warm enough if there's a lack of proper insulation, or there could be pretty good insulation, but not a good windbreaker, right? We need both. You need a sweater and a windbreaker to stay warm in the coldest winter.
Right.
So the house needs a windbreaker as well, and that would be to air seal. Seal up those holes that allow air to rise to the roof.
A fine balance of that. So what have you seen in your experience in how people try to deal with ice dams when they get them, and what would you caution folks or recommend that folks do if an ice dam does form on their house?
Well, first of all, I'd say don't risk life and limb to get up there and start chopping away, in your loafers at the ice.
Don't use an axe or a hatchet to swing at your roof.
Right. Don't cause damage to your roof. Don't cause damage to yourself.
Yep.
If you do have ice that needs to be removed, hire a professional to do it, a contractor that's used to working on roof systems. But that's going to be very expensive for you, and I would recommend that people try to deal with the underlying problems of heat loss to the roof before ice dams occur, rather than use the Band-Aid approach of just treating the symptom year after year and spending a lot of money on the symptoms.
So you could end up spending less money on just solving the problem than just treating it every year.
Much less money. From what I've read recently in the newspaper of what the contractors from Wisconsin or here in Boston.
Yeah.
It's very expensive.
Yeah, that's probably the number one reason why it's been in the newspaper or on the news is it's really expensive.
And what happens next year? That house that had the heat loss that caused the ice dam can have the exact same problem next year.
And they're probably not the first ones to tell you that because it's kind of cutting into job security, right?
Yeah, maybe so. But I can tell you that having an energy audit done on your home, an analysis for the Cape Light Compacts program, can pinpoint those areas of heat loss and direct you to ways that the heat loss can be resolved so that perhaps you won't have ice dams.
Right, so there are some ways to fix the underlying problem as opposed to just going up and chipping off ice. And obviously, if you have ice built up, it needs to be dealt with. Just insulating or air sealing at that moment wouldn't necessarily get rid of that. Mm-hmm. But it's that underlying problem, the underlying cause that I think that we could certainly help out with. Another important part to this too, Steve, is ventilation in roof systems, right?
Right, that's the third component. So you need a good insulation layer. You need to stop the air leakage that lets warm air rise up to the roof. But then once you've done that and you've kept the heat down in the house where you want it and you're not directly heating your roof, you should ventilate the underside of the roof well. That means soffit vents, ridge vents, or gable vents perhaps. Ventilation systems allow air to rise from bottom to top and keep the entire roof at a near outside temperature so the snow just won't melt. it'll stay snow and not turn to ice.
And that has additional benefits in the summer months as well, right?
Oh, sure. It'll keep your roof cooler, could potentially reduce air conditioning requirements in your home, and improve the life of your roof system because it, you know, shingles that stay cool will last longer.
Right. They're not intended to be baked to 190 degrees all the time.
Right.
And for anybody that's gone up into the attic in the summertime, I think you probably can attest that it's really hot and it's a lot cooler outside. So bring some of that cooler air in. So we've got ventilation, insulation, air sealing. Those are all things that are addressed through a residential home energy audit, at least.
Which you can get by calling the toll-free number for the Cape Light Compact.
Which is 1-800-797-6699. And while that is, you know, that is a good way to fix the underlying problem, but I think anyone that's listened to the show before has heard us go on and on and on about energy audits. So we'll save the listeners that and kind of utilize some of the time that we have here with Steve as a leading building scientist with Rise Engineering with a lot of experience in this. Steve, what would you say to folks who aren't necessarily sure if they have ice dams, or they're afraid that they may, or I'm picturing the little old lady who doesn't go outside, doesn't walk around her house in the wintertime and see everything. You know, she might go to the store and come back, but most people don't walk around their entire house when there's 40 inches of snow on the ground.
Well, if you do see ice, if you look out the windows and you see icicles are forming in certain portions of your roof edge, then there's a potential that you have ice dams forming. It's not necessarily happening, but it could be. Icicles are an indicator that there may be ice forming on the roof that can dam water back. If you see water dripping into your home at any location, that's a problem. Whether it's a roof leak for some damage to the roof for some other reason, or it's an ice dam, you want to correct that. You want to find out how that water is getting into the home and correct it right away.
And that can be as much as seeing kind of a water stain on your ceiling or on your wall.
Or mildew perhaps forming in an area near the outside wall edge. Or you could see paint peeling, as you said, or plaster deforming or wallpaper peeling off. Any water inside the home is not a good thing. Water leads to rot, mold. It can really damage a home.
Yeah. Structurally, it can really impact your indoor air quality.
Yes.
So it's a good thing to have taken care of. All right, Steve. So in true Cape Cod fashion, I would like to say my house is not the same as anyone else's. I am unique, and I have my own. My house is not going to have the same outcome.
That's really true. It's truer than you might think. You might have a ranch house, for example, that has your furnace in the attic with ductwork in the attic. All right. So the heat loss to the roof in your house might be from the jacket of the furnace or from leaks from the heat supply ducts up in the attic that warms the roof. Your neighbor might have a ranch house that looks just like yours from the outside, but they've got a basement and their furnace is down there. But they got a fireplace with walls that square off around it that create a big chase. And if you were up in the attic, you'd look down in this void where warm air can rise up into the attic. So although two houses might look alike, they can be very different. So every house can have a unique reason for heat losses to the roof area that could lead to ice dams. Another example might be if you're in a townhouse condominium in a multifamily situation, and those townhouse common walls are often double framed so that they create a fire stop and some soundproofing between those dwellings. But that entire wall between the dwellings is a vertical chimney, essentially, of warm air that can rise up to the roof and lead to ice dams again. So the reasons for ice dams to form really are myriad, but most of them can be identified and with someone experienced taking a look at it and treated, so that you're going to save energy and reduce the likelihood of getting ice dams in the future.
So Steve, thank you for joining us today. It was really good talking with you.
My pleasure.
It's just a true testament to the brilliance of the people that we have partnering with us here at the Cape Light Compact, and we'll talk with you soon.
If ice dams create problems in your house, make sure to give us a call this spring or summer at 1-800-797-6699 so we can send one of our experienced energy specialists out to your house to see if we can fix a problem from within. This is Matt Dudley, and you've been listening to Cape Light Compact's Focus on Energy. Join us next month, same time, same place. If there's a topic that you'd like to suggest or something that you'd like more information on, you can give us a call or send us an email at focus@barnstablecounty.org.